Code Monkey, get up, get coffee. Code Monkey, go to job. Code Monkey, have boring meeting with boring manager Rob. Rob say Code Monkey very diligent, but his output stink. His code not functional or elegant. What do Code Monkey think?
Hello and welcome to From Python Import Podcast. This is the last of our interviews from PyCon, so I guess that means we have to get off our butts and make some more episodes happen. Don't panic, we don't plan to disappear for a year again, though that was never really in our plan to begin with, so who knows. Anyway, in this episode we find David Stanek, Mike Crute, and Chris Miller interviewing Jonathan LaCour from DreamHost. Cast back your mind and pretend that it's early March in sunny Santa Clara, California.
Alright, it's recording. We can edit, of course. So,
sure.
By the way, we've got the explicit tag, so if you want to swear, go for it.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we had
we
Steve
like
Holden.
That fucking shit.
We had Steve Holden cursing up a blue streak, so that was...
Not required, but yeah.
Yeah. Certainly.
It's good to know. It's good to know where I stand.
All right. So what I'm really curious about is your role.
You want to introduce our
guest? Well, why don't you introduce
him? Okay, why don't I do the spiel?
Sure.
All right, for From Python Import Podcast, I'm here with Dave Stanek, Mike Crute,
Jonathan LaCour.
Thank you, Jonathan.
Yeah,
I didn't want to get your last name wrong.
That's all right.
And we are talking about, what are we going to talk about, Dave? You have the notes.
I'm going to talk some about what DreamHost is working on, some OpenStack stuff, and then anything that you're currently doing.
Sure, absolutely.
Let's roll with it.
So I know you're at DreamHost now. Why don't you
tell
a little bit about your position and what you guys are up to?
Absolutely. So about, I want to say, 6 months ago or so, I did the cross-country move from the dirty South, Atlanta, to Los Angeles for a job at DreamHost. I'm the VP of software development there. And so basically that means that I'm in charge of all of the geeky, nerdy devs who write code. But being DreamHost, it's not just the devs that write code. It's also the ops guys and the support folks and pretty much everybody. So we're like kind of the epitome of DevOps, you know, kind of in a cowboyish, not so controlled way for many, many years. But we're really getting that under control now and trying to, you know, kind of formalize it a little bit. Make sure we're going about things the right way. So it's been a real adventure. DreamHost was founded by four dudes out of Harvey Mudd, basically out of their dorm room. And they started, you know, hosting friends' websites on, like, computers hooked to the super high-speed Harvey Mudd network and starting taking money for it and all that good stuff. And then I think they realized that, you know, it probably wasn't a sustainable way to do it. And so it's actually kind of fun to sit down with those guys and kind of go through the genesis of the company. But so been around for a while, profitable business, and now we're kind of and traditionally it's been a pearl shop. I said pearl shop for those whispered it kind of in a shameful voice. So there's like probably 10 times as much Perl code right now at DreamHost than there is Python code, which is very interesting for me. New world. But pretty much all of that code has been written over a long period of time before now, and so we're looking at Python as a great way for us to be able to be a little bit more disciplined about how we go about the process of creating software. So that's kind of how Python comes into the story. But also, as David mentioned, we're in the OpenStack world because DreamHost is committed to actually pushing out some cloud services over the course of this year and the next, which is really exciting. So OpenStack is a big part of that. OpenStack is a Python-based kind of a community. I'd hesitate to call it a project because it's a bunch of projects that are either tightly or loosely related, depending on which project you're talking about. And we're heavily involved in that and working on delivering a public cloud based on OpenStack.
That is fantastic. I've been hosting with DreamHost for years. I've got my sites there since 2006, 2007,
great.
Somewhere in there. So, and I've noticed, you know, not only has have the platforms become more stable over that time, but I've also noticed the installation tools, the way you manage websites, mm-hmm. and even some of the Python support, being able to use Django up there has been, you know, really nice. And I'm hoping to see more of that. I really do like that
Me
aspect
too.
Of things.
Me too. We have an ally, kind of a man inside at this point now, so I can push for more cool Python-related stuff. I love all of them. There's a lot of projects out there now, like a lot of platforms where it's really easy to deploy Python projects mm-hmm. just by, like, pushing something to a Git repo, and yeah. I'd love to have some stuff like that on top of DreamHost. So that's the kind of stuff that I'd like to see us do after we have our infrastructure,
oh, sure.
cloud infrastructure built out. So
I'll be excited to see it when it does happen.
Yeah.
So sign me up.
Are you targeting mostly consumers? Are you targeting, like, businesses, small businesses, large businesses?
So there's two different products working on right now, services, cloud services. The first is actually based on an open source project that was created by one of our founders, Sage Weil, called Ceph. C-E-P-H. Ceph is, it's kind of the secret gem of DreamHost and of a lot of the storage community, the software storage community. So Ceph is a project that allows you to cluster together large amounts of servers and their drives into a big petabyte scale storage, network accessible storage. And it has a lot of cool features. So first one is that you can actually, so you can access it, the actual underlying object store, you can access it using C libraries. Libratos is called, the underlying storage system is called Rados, which stands for something that I can't remember off the top of my head. And then on top of that, we actually have several other different ways that you can utilize it. One of them is called RBD, which is the Rados block device. You can actually utilize the entire Ceph cluster, your entire Ceph cluster, as a block device, and you can treat it just as one big disk, basically, which is really amazing. So just imagine having a petabyte block device, network accessible. So, and there's no single points of failure. So any one rack goes away, no big deal. Well, not no big deal, but, you know, pragmatically it can be handled. It can automatically redistribute the data under the hood. And it also can be, it's got a POSIX-compliant file system as well, so you can actually mount it as a POSIX-compliant nice. Network file system, which there's a lot of network-available file systems out there that tell you dirty lies, and Ceph tries not to tell you dirty lies, right? It tries to be a legit POSIX file system. So, and then above that, there's something called the Rados Gateway, which is actually a Python-based, I believe it's Python-based, but it may not be. I have to look at the source. But anyway, it's a HTTP layer, which lets you access your object store, your entire object store via HTTP using the S3 API or the OpenStack Swift API. So it's actually a full-on drop-in replacement for Swift, which is implemented in Python, but Ceph is significantly, I would say, more designed and architected for a lot more purposes. So,
is that a DreamHost thing or an open source thing?
It both. So. Ceph is open source. It's a DreamHost thing. Our founder did it for his one of our founders did it for his PhD project. It's been years now, and they've been developing it actively ever since. We have a whole team of devs who work on it. We're actually spinning off a separate company that we're supporting and funding to take that product and keep it open source always, but do lots of interesting things. So this all relates back to the original question you asked about who the target demo is. And so the first product that we're releasing is going to be an airplane, a tool. We should get that guy who did the PyCon talk on squirrel attacks to, like, you know, that's actually probably really
bad.
That
was an amazing talk, too. I'm just going to make sure this is still recording.
Cool.
Yeah,
I'm sure we got every joyous minute of the airplane.
Sure. Of the airplane. Yeah,
go right ahead. Sorry.
So the first thing we're releasing is we're going to call it Dream Objects, and it's a S3 like service built on top of Ceph that's accessible via S3's API and the Swift API. So that's the first thing, and then so the target for that, you know, DreamHost has a lot of customers, and we've had them for a long time, and they kind of range all over the place. We've got a lot of developer types. Mm-hmm. We have you know, mommy bloggers, and we have people who are tinkering around on the next big thing or whatever. You know, mm-hmm. there's all sorts of different types of people hosting with us. So, you know, a lot of what we're doing with this is to learn about what our customers want to do. But I think So I would call it little developers, and by that I mean like if you're a guy like me who has delusions of grandeur and enjoys tinkering on cool stuff to change the world. Exactly. You like to write code and push it up somewhere and try it out and do cool things. And, you know, so that's one category of person that I'm really super focused on, that DreamHost is super focused on. And then, you know, there's other people who just want to, for example, back up all their music or email or whatever. And, you know, we totally think that's a great use case for our object store. So, you know, there's lots of different uses for it, and I think we're going to learn a lot from that product. And on the compute front, I'd say it's less consumer-focused, right? It's much more focused on devs, right? So, and definitely not enterprise. Like, I don't know if you've ever read DreamHost newsletter, but we are a little bit, we're not exactly the most PC business in certain ways. We embrace the culture that we're in. So I think, you know, people who want to spin up a few instances and write some apps and test them out and, you know, distribute their builds out or, you know, whatever they want to do, that's a really good first case. And then I was recently involved a couple years back in a company called ShootQ, which was a little startup based on Python. We did like a CRM for photographers, basically. And, you know, we didn't have any ops people. We didn't have any hardware. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we definitely wanted to be in the cloud. And we found some places that we could host that were reasonably okay. But I think there's really a gap in the marketplace for someone who's really, really super dev-friendly and really is targeting that guy who just, you know, trying to build something out with one or two people. So that's a really good target as well.
So what's the big difference then between your compute, what you're building on the compute side versus like a Linode or an Amazon?
So Amazon is obviously the 500-pound gorilla, right?
Right.
You know, when you contact Amazon support, you don't do that, yeah, right?
This is where I was actually going to make this comment, is that, yeah, you know, I've always been pleased with DreamHost's support and the ability for a developer to go to a support person and say, hey, this is screwed. How do we fix this? Yeah, because trying to go to Amazon is a challenge. And unless you've got the bucks to throw at them.
Yeah,
yeah, I mean, without that multi-$1,000 support contract.
Exactly.
Totally. I mean, don't get me wrong, like, Amazon's great. They are pioneer in the space, like, no question. You know, they've started this whole new, you know, world that we're going to all be dependent upon going forward. But, you know, I think there's room for players like DreamHost who can really get hyper-focused around things like that, things like support, mm-hmm, and really nurturing their developers who are on their platform. Yeah. Also, you know, we have, you know, the current DreamHost offering is essentially shared hosting, VPS, and dedicated servers. And you're able to do all of those things and transition between them. So you can start on shared, and you can click some buttons in the panel, and you can move from shared to VPS. And then you can click some more buttons, and you can move from VPS to Dedi, and no work for you, right? So this is whole really nice, kind of easily managed hosting that we provide. And wouldn't it be cool if, maybe, you could spin up a whole set of instances in our cloud and link them on the same network to your dedicated servers or your VPSs. That's kind of an interesting thing that, mm-hmm, Amazon's just not interested in doing or hasn't done really in any real sense. So I think that's one differentiator. I think we're going to learn a lot from this first offering, the object storage offering, about what our customers want. And we're here at PyCon talking to people and being like, how are you using the cloud? What would you like to see different? Price is a really good place to compete as well.
Service and price, absolutely. I know I was privileged to be one of the folks that helped beta test a lot of the Amazon services, S3 and such like that. But we were with a startup that was being funded by Sequoia, so of course they knew there was, you know, there was going to be some money being thrown at them. So they were pleased as punch, but I know a lot of individual developers who tried at the same time. They were in the beta program, but could not get the support. And, mm-hmm, you know, reading the docs, you know, docs are only as good as how often they're updated.
Yeah.
You know, so I think that you're really hitting on something strong here, where if you can court those developers, they will be your biggest fans.
Yeah.
They will,
that's right.
They will talk it up.
And for every 100 of those developers who you know, is tinkering around in their free time working on, you know, something, mm-hmm. You know, 90 of them are gonna stay tinkering and not really end up exploding, but 10 of them are going to do something really cool and do something, you know, that will really explode, and we're there for them. They're already with us, and we can grow with them. That's the whole idea of a cloud, right? Is be able to instrument it and use APIs to scale up. And you know, we want to make sure that we give people the opportunity to really try out cool things.
Okay.
So enabling developers to do what we do best, which is write cool software. So
that's always a pain for me, is finding the right service to be able to just deploy.
Yeah.
I build a small Django app that I want to deploy and then go and seamlessly just deploy it.
Yeah.
Even, you know, the existing services that just don't do it for me.
Yeah, I think platform as a service offerings are really, really interesting, where they give you a lot more capability to just, like, push something to a Git repo and have it automatically deploy, which is super cool. And that's definitely a space I'd like to see us get into as well. But right now, we got to really focus on the infrastructure bit. Once we get that up, you have this whole infrastructure that you can spin up and spin down and completely control an instrument via an API. The sky's the limit on what you can do. It's just a matter of, you know, figuring out all sorts of cool things that you can actually do and executing on them. So
when are you guys thinking it's going to launch?
That's a really good question. And I knew you were going to ask that. So, you know, just in case I want to, you know, have a job after this. So what I'll say is soon in terms of the object service, and later in terms of the compute product. I would say, if you are familiar with OpenStack, OpenStack has releases every 6 months or so based on major milestones. And right now they're working, the current milestone that's out is the D milestone called Diablo. The next one that's in development right now and is rapidly approaching release is called Essex, the E release. So it's A, B, C, D, E, right? And each release has gotten better and better and more useful. And I would say most of the cases of OpenStack in the wild right now are private. And by that I mean they're for private clouds or for managing the infrastructure of one company or one business. They're not giant multi-tenant. Now, that's not entirely true. You know, there are people out there who have pushed out clouds, public clouds, based upon the current OpenStack iterations. But we want to do something a little bit more interesting than what is out there now, and so we want to make sure we do it right. I mean, we could, you know, feasibly launch a cloud tomorrow with what's available at OpenStack today. But if we really want to offer some, let's just say, some really cool, unique things based upon our story with Ceph and what we have with that network storage, then we really need to wait until the next major milestone. And then we really start to get some traction. So that's what we're doing now, is we're focusing on, we're actually sponsoring a sprint here at PyCon on OpenStack. So we're hoping to see some of the core devs from OpenStack show up to that. And I've hired a good number of devs to join the team. And, you know, we're working on trying to become a part of the foundation that's getting started. So we're really pushing hard on, betting hard on OpenStack. So
I know you guys have the DreamHost Wiki and a number of other tools for people, customers, to keep in touch. But have you thought about a particular, and maybe you already have it and I haven't found it yet, like a targeted dev community? These are you talk about targeting the little devs.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, someone that manages that community where they could sign up to help beta test or you know, that kind of thing.
So I would love to do that. So we've had some internal conversations around that. We have a guy here, Brent Scotton, who's over at the R booth. He is a product marketing manager at DreamHost, and he's been doing a lot of engaging with devs here, and we're hearing that a lot. And I hear it a lot as well. One of the things that, if you look on GitHub, there's a DreamHost organization on GitHub where a lot of software is actually living now. Some of the work we're doing on OpenStack, we're trying to do it all in the open. You know, we have forked instances of all the projects for OpenStack. All of the things we're doing will be available there. I would really like to see us, and I have started working on, very early stages, a site where we really try to engage the developer community specifically. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, that could blossom into forums, mailing lists, whatever.
Right.
The wiki that's there is already a pretty good spot for people to go and collaborate.
Oh, definitely.
But I think there's more we can do, especially around, like, hey, here's some code. Try this out. Here's a project you can push out into our infrastructure, right? So I think, like, a whole developer engagement is definitely part of what we have to do to really succeed. So.
I would absolutely agree. You know, it all comes down to that 1,000 true fan idea.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
You know, if you can get that critical mass, I think you'd be looking at a real success.
I agree. I hope so.
Yeah, absolutely.
Are you still doing open source stuff?
Yeah, so I write. Yeah, I definitely code in my spare time right now. That's a really good way to put it. And I'm hoping that, you know, now that I've gotten the team really rolling at DreamHost, that I'll be able to do a little bit more. I admit to not being a good citizen with Python 3 just yet, but I'm hoping to, you know, bone up on that soon.
Well, if there's one thing I've learned throughout the conference is you're not the only one.
Yeah.
So everyone's in transition.
The thing is, like, I feel like that's a good thing that at this point I know, like, okay, it's on me. Like, at this point, they are doing everything they can.
Sure.
And kudos to them for that. I really think it'll be a pretty easy transition for me at this point. Mm-hmm. So.
Excellent.
Awesome.
All right, then. Well, thank you for being here. We appreciate it. And I look forward to hearing more about this in coming days.
Yeah, definitely. Right. Thanks a lot, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Man, big warm fuzzy secret heart, code monkey like you.